The Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. Have you ever looked at something and thought you knew what it was you were looking at, but then it turned out to be something totally different? Almost like you saw something, but you didn't really see it. You didn't recognize it for what it was. Has that ever happened to you? Maybe we see a word or an item that we just can't figure out, or maybe we see someone who we think is an enemy, but it turns out they're a friend. Or we experience something that we think will be good, but it turns out to be bad. Or we think that something is going to be a minor thing, but it turns into a major hassle. So often we see things that we absolutely know are true, but upon closer inspection, they turn out to be totally fake. Sometimes it's the exact opposite, isn't it? You see, there's a difference, I think, between seeing something and really seeing it. There's a difference between seeing something and recognizing it for what it really is. Now, the reason I think this happens could be as simple as our eyes playing tricks on us, right? Or us just not looking closely enough. Maybe it's a trick of the light, like when you are in Target and you approach someone with a red polo shirt on to ask for help, before realizing that they are not, in fact, an employee of Target, but someone with an unfortunate wardrobe coincidence. Sometimes this happens to me with words. The other day I was reading, just reading along, like you do, and I came across the word policey. Policey, that's weird. Like an adverb describing something as being like the police. Like that outfit is very policey. Or this stretch of highway is really policey, watch out. Policey, I had to stop and I reread the sentence again and again and again. It took me about 5 times and I realized that the word I was reading was policy. Policy. Policey. Now look, I can read, okay? I can read, but for some reason, at this one moment, I saw this word and I just couldn't recognize it for what it was.
Has that ever happened to you? Maybe it has to do with what we expect to see. We expect to see certain things, and then we often see it. We see what we expect. This is actually a psychological phenomenon that is sometimes referred to as the ladder of inference. Okay, stick with me here. Picture a ladder. The ladder of inference is made up of several rungs. The first rung is that we observe an event. Then we select data from what we observe. We make assumptions based on our interpretations of the data that we select. We then draw conclusions, and then we adopt beliefs about our world, and we take action based on those beliefs that we have developed from the conclusions that we've drawn based on the data that we observed and selected based on the event that we've witnessed. Does that make sense? This ladder of inference. The thing is that there is actually a self-reinforcing loop. That means that once we believe something, it actually interprets not only, it determines not only how we interpret the data, but it actually determines the bits of data that we see and collect and take in. So our beliefs determine what we see. Not just how we interpret what we see, but what actually we see. We believe something, and then whatever we experience, regardless of what else might be there, we tend to only see and recognize that which reinforces what we already believe to begin with. This is the ladder of inference. So, for example, have you ever left a sermon feeling really justified? Not because, like, somehow the Spirit has convicted you, but because you're like, preach on! I got this, but everyone else needs to hear it. Have you ever left a sermon feeling like you were on the same side as God and the preacher? Or maybe you're in a feud with a colleague or a family member, and everything they do just justifies how right you are and how wrong they are. See, we start climbing this ladder of inference, and we see things how we want to see them. We actually see what we expect to see, not necessarily what's truly there. You know, I was thinking about this, and I think sometimes we fail to see things clearly. We fail to recognize things for what they are because sometimes we don't expect to see those things. A friend recently told me how his brother all of a sudden seemed to get really lazy and unmotivated, all of a sudden was really uninterested in what was going on in life and in their family. He'd gained a lot of weight, he didn't follow through with a lot of his commitments, and it just kind of seemed like he didn't care. And my friend admitted that he was so frustrated. He was so annoyed and impatient with his brother. You know, he was just this good-for-nothing, selfish, lazy person. But one day, his brother had a coughing fit that he couldn't really recover from, and after taking him to the emergency room and doing a chest scan, they realized his heart was 2 times the size it should have been. A sign of heart failure, actually. So you see, my friend's brother wasn't lazy. He was sick. And my friend saw all the symptoms, but didn't expect what ended up being the truth. And so he missed what it really was. Has that ever happened to you where you see something but you cannot recognize it for what it is? You see it and it's either what you expect and so you ignore everything else, or maybe it's totally what you don't expect so you can't understand it, or you just read the word wrong. But you see something and you can't recognize it for what it really is. When I read the scriptures in the lectionary this week, I couldn't help but think that this is the case in both of these scriptures. How hard it is to see clearly sometimes. You see, in both scriptures, they deal with this truth that's held right up in front of their faces. And yet, in each scripture, the people involved fail to see clearly the truth for what it is. And as you know, as we just read them, these scriptures don't have to do with just some trick of the eye. For whatever reason, these people failed to see clearly. These failures get at the root of who we are as humans and who Christ is as God. This first scripture is powerful, the one from 2 Samuel. Kind of as an unbiased third-party reader, it's really easy to get caught up in the drama of the whole thing. You know, he falls in love with the woman, but she's married, and he has her husband killed, and then he pretends, and da-da-da, and then you are the man. You know, Nathan just calls him out. But I think what the story of David does is it reminds us that the very hardest thing to see clearly, the very hardest thing to see actually the reality, the very hardest thing to see for what it really is ourselves. For David, it's only seen by his actions, it's only seen his actions through the lens of another story about somebody else that David finally sees himself clearly. What a haunting reminder to pause, to take a really hard look around. What a really important reminder to have someone, at least one person in your life, who is willing to hold up a mirror to you. What a reminder to check in with that person regularly, because what if you're missing something? What if you think you're seeing yourself clearly, but you're really not? What if you are the man? What if you are the woman? What if you've convinced yourself that you're not in any way culpable for the hurting, wounded, damaged world around you? But what if you really are? What if I am? What if we're missing something? What if we can't see ourselves clearly? Seeing ourselves clearly is the first step to realizing that we might actually be in need of something more than what we already have. I mean, it's really easy. Just takes a little bit of warped light. If we just squint just like so, we can look in the mirror and see how complete we are. And we can look in the mirror and see no room for improvement. But actually pausing and taking a hard look and asking a friend who can reflect the truth to us and realizing that we are not as perfect or righteous or generous or patient or loving as we can sometimes trick ourselves into thinking we are, it's the first step to actually becoming more righteous and generous and loving. In the gospel reading today, it reminds us why it's essential to really see and understand who Christ is. Because Christ can offer us what we really need. You know, Christ is the one who can take our incomplete, imperfect, broken, lost, mean, and messy selves and say, I got you. You were created better than this, and I'm going to help you get back to it. So don't miss who Christ really is in this story. Because in the story, the people don't get it, right? They're hungry, and Christ has fed them, and they're not really expecting much more other than to be fed again. So don't be like the people in the gospel who come to Christ because he did a cool trick with some bread. They can't see who Christ really is because he makes them feel better in the moment. He fills their bellies. He makes them feel good. And all they want to do is feel better. But friends, Christ is not here to make them or us feel better. Christ is here to make us be better. If you're expecting Christ to do a trick, to fill you with warm, fuzzy feeling that really will only last you until you walk out these doors and have to face all the frustrations and gunk of this world, then you might be looking at Jesus, but you're not really seeing him. If the Jesus that you see simply agrees with everything you already are and everything you already do, then you're not really seeing Jesus.
If the Jesus you see supports your opinions and fits into the box that you've built, you are not seeing Jesus.
Jesus is not the felt board, Sunday school, white with blue eyes Jesus, who is so polished and shiny and whose hair is perfectly waved and whose robe is perfectly clean. And if you only see Jesus as some high esoteric vision of Christ as the eternal third party of the Trinity, right hand of God, although that is good and essential actually in understanding who Jesus is, that is not the whole picture. You're not seeing Jesus fully. Because Jesus is also present and engaged and connected to the needs of this world. Jesus is in the mess with us. Jesus is right beside us, working hard. And if you can't see that Jesus, then you're not seeing who Jesus really is. You see, friends, Jesus is the teenager who's held in custody at our border, who's worshiping as if his life depended on it. He's in the midst of an interfaith group of citizens willing to be arrested for protecting the least and the lost. Jesus is the child's trauma counselor who every day, hour after hour after hour, helps abused children find healing and hope again. Jesus is the research scientist putting everything she's got into finding a cure for cancer. Jesus is the homeless person who looks out for the other homeless folks in the community. Jesus is the billionaire who donates and supports and engages with life-changing ministries anonymously, because it's not about them. You see, to see Jesus, to really understand who Jesus is and what he is calling us to, means to recognize how much you need Jesus. Because if you really understand who Jesus is, it means you have to let go of that ladder of inference that you have been climbing. You have to recognize that the person that you hate, or the person you're afraid of, or the person you despise, or the person you look down on, the person who just frustrates you, might be better than you think they are. They might have a point. They might have a valid perspective. They might actually be just the mirror you need to look at your own life. Have you ever looked in a mirror kind of at the end of the day and you realize that you've gone all day long with like a smudge on your cheek or like hair sticking out? Or maybe that thing in your teeth has been there since lunch? It's the worst. Friends, Jesus is the one who can wipe our faces clean and who can tuck our hair behind our ear and who can give us some floss. Jesus can forgive us and redeem us and love us and help us to be the people that we were created to be. Don't miss the chance to live the life that you are supposed to live. Eternal life, starting now, because you fail to see who Christ is. You fail to see who you are, and you fail to see what Christ is calling you to. Christ is offering us eternal life. Don't just be looking for a piece of bread. Amen.